Every Tuesday, we hop on to the 7 Line, cruise on down to Morton, into Fernandez Plaza. Look at that, the air conditioning working just fine in City Hall. Into the mayor's office we go, and there's our great friend John Hamilton, the mayor of Bloomington. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome. Come on in. It sounds like it's time to open up some pools.
That smells like chlorine from here, buddy. But this is a big weekend, and that's a pretty good forecast to get everybody fired up. I was telling the story yesterday, and I will tell it every day this week. If I could have one help from everybody in Bloomington, if you are going to the pool on opening weekend, will you do me a favor and please not try to sign up and get all the information on buying a season pass when the line
right
is out the door and around the corner? Can we get everybody into the pool? And then once we're in there, then you can go back or go on a rainy day or go to the city's website or. I'm not going to ask you to hire somebody.
You sound like you'd be good on that front desk.
I would be the guy that, like, you know where Lucy sets it, like advice for 5 cents or whatever that was for the peanuts. But I would take that out front and say, anybody who wants to get a season pass, you can sign up out here,
yeah.
And then the rest of us who are melting out here in the sun, because we just want to get in, please on this day, just don't. I know we're all excited. Let's go swimming, and then we'll worry about saving. The passes are nice. I'm not saying that. Just don't do it on the first day. All right, so we've got the chlorine in. We've got the water all stirred up, which tells me, I know there was, not concern, but there was always the, okay, we're going to put water in it. Let's hope the water's in it tomorrow when we come back.
It's always the first day of filling up the pools. You're crossing your fingers and hoping everything works. I think we did have a little pump problem that we're dealing with at one of the pools, but, you know, most of it's working great. It'll be a beautiful place. By the way, let me express thank you to the Bloomington Health Foundation, which I think offers free sunscreen to everybody at the pool, which is nice, and they bought a big shade, and you know, everybody pitches in. So I hope we have the start of a great summer Saturday morning. It kicks off.
And let's not forget as well, the splash pad at Switchyard Park is included in all this, correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So it'll be starting the same. I think they actually start an hour earlier at the splash pad. So enjoy. It should be a great weekend.
It will be, because, number one, we're not in school anymore. Our great friends at RBB are also out after Thursday. We've got graduation going on this week. It just seems like we had the big songwriters festival around, music festival last weekend. There is no time out, is there?
Well, we jump right into the fun of summer. You know, once IU changes the rhythm, but the city picks up and all the parks programs get going, and outdoor activities expand, and anyway, we love it. And I know the parks people they get a little spring in their step, you know, a little bit when they got their game on going full bore.
Well, that's right. So those of you who will be down there for Food Truck Friday, does the splash pad turn on earlier because it's not a pool?
I think it's just 1 hour earlier.
Okay,
they start at 9 and the pool's at 10, maybe something like that.
Gotcha.
And their regular hours are just a little different, but check online and buy your passes early. You know, it's complicated because there's different options. You know, you can get a season pass for one person. You can get like a book of 20 for anybody. You can have, you know, hand them out to your friends. So there's different options.
You're making my point for me, because there are all these options that we can't explain that to every third person in line. Why the rest of us are melting behind the scenes.
All right, I'm going to pass that along to Parks, see what they think of that. I'll tell them it's the Mike plan, the WGL plan.
tell them that I'm not available for hire this weekend, but any other weekend I'll be right down there. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon, and we are always talking the great things that are happening in the city of Bloomington. And if you're out and about having fun, well, Memorial Day weekend's great. We're going to see probably some out-of-towners as well, because we'll have the high school graduation, so that naturally brings folks in. We will also have people if you don't want to stay in the downtown Indy area, you might find a little bit help down here. Do our race fans still matriculate this way?
Oh, I think so. You know, I just heard the number 325,000 people expected at the race.
Woo.
And 150,000 of them are Hoosiers. So if you do the math, that's 175,000 people coming in for the race outside the state, not to mention, you know, the down the Indy area. So that's, I think we get hotels used all over the place.
Great. And it's very cool to see all of that moving along and having fun. Why? It's the greatest spectacle in racing. We will be covering it since 1949. I can't even do that math. That's been a long,
wow,
long time. So we'll bring that and present it Sunday morning. Well, we know Indianapolis is busy for Carb Day coming up on Friday, and they'll have the big concert to wrap up that afternoon after a little practice in the pit stop competition. Saturday, downtown, if you start at the, Military Park downtown, and it goes in the big U shape around the circle and back up for the parade, and we know how many people will be there for the race on Sunday. Heck, you were up there. What would the mayors get together at the track every year? That's not, it's like senior skip day, but it's for mayors. I get it.
I mentioned we talked about that every year. You know, I think the Indianapolis Speedway does a nice job of trying to remind people this isn't just about Indianapolis or Speedway. It's about the whole state and something we can be proud of. So they, not only did they bring a car around, we've had that an Indy demo car come through Bloomington in the past few years, but they also invite mayors from all across the state for qualification day and bring us in for breakfast. I think people prefer to hear from the princess candidates than they do the mayors.
I don't blame you.
They,
that's right.
They put us both on the same program. And it's really, there were 66 mayors, I think they said, that were there, and we have a breakfast, and then they let us go into the pavilion for to watch some of the qualifications and all the gasoline alley and all. Anyway, it's a nice way that the Indy 500 embraces the whole state.
Now, I'm going to ask a silly question because that's what my area of expertise is. That and eliminating lines at community pools. That's the only two things I do well. How many mayors are there in the state of Indiana?
Oh, you're going to ask me that question, aren't you?
Just a ballpark.
100 plus, I think. But,
well, there's
but
90.
I think
there's
we
90
got more than half of them.
There's 92 counties. There has to be at least.
I know that, 92 counties. You got to, like, the towns, there's like one town with a mayor, which is unusual, but second class and third class cities have mayors, others have town managers, but 66 is a pretty respectable showing from all across, and I can tell you, when you do it alphabetically, I think Anderson's the first one, you know. And what was the last one?
Zionsville. I'll go with Zionsville.
But I don't think they were there yet. That's probably right.
Too far to commute, but, 45 minutes down the highway there?
Bloomington was right near the front in between Boonville, ahead of Boonville and behind, who were we behind? I can't remember anyway.
Bloomington, it was nice, Bloomfield.
Quite a special facility up there. And, you know, I mean, look, I like to remind myself, I mean, it's kind of a crazy spectacle, but you remember, this is 107th running. Back in the early 1900s, just getting a car to drive 500 miles and to figure out how, you know, the technology was so new, so it was really a testing ground to help the whole industry improve, you know.
And here we are 100 years later wondering how we're going to get our electric cars 500 miles on one charge. So everything that is new was old at one point, or however that wonderful. But that's not your only. You've got a busy summertime. Is summertime usually when the mayors go on tour? Is this how this works? Is this some
well,
kind of
we
band?
We have an annual big mayors conference nationally every once a summer, June or July, and then also we go to D.C. in January. You know, so that's the cycle. This year it'll be in Columbus, Ohio. That moves around basically to every state over 50 years, back and forth, you know. And it's a good gathering. We've talked about it a little bit, I think. You know, the mayors from all around the country get together and share best practices, concerns. We get experts come and talk to us, whether it's about public safety or housing or workforce readiness or opioid addiction or all kinds of things.
And we do have all kinds of things to talk about, and we do that with Mayor John Hamilton every Tuesday. I had a chance to speak with Jeff Hoswald, the doctor of the MCCSC, and they're having their school board meeting tonight, as they always do on the fourth Tuesday of every month. And tomorrow they're having a community forum to talk about perhaps shifting some tax dollars around to support early education that was left out of. He told me I don't have the agenda in front of me, but the legislative session did not address this. So the question was, well, why didn't you do this on the referendum in November? And there's your answer, because the they thought the state was going to handle a little bit of it. They don't. Obviously, education is an important issue in every community. You talk to these other mayors. We're worried about building jails here and things of the such. That's a big project on the radar of many here, and I can understand why. Well, let's try to stop it from the other side. How about that?
Yeah, you know, I am a big fan of improving our early education, pre-K, whatever you want to call it. A lot of states have taken these steps already. I'm disappointed as well that we didn't, and I'm not sure we will. So I think it's an exceptionally valuable thing for us as a community to offer, as I think the school corporation is thinking about, you know, free or heavily subsidized pre-K for three-year-olds and four-year-olds. Just it helps families, it helps kids, it helps our education system, and as you said, it helps, as you indicated, it helps in the long run to have just a better community and more successful lives. We know that putting money into early education is one of the smartest things we can do to help the trajectory of our communities and our country. So I'm really pleased they're looking at it. I think it would be a feather in the cap of Bloomington if we're able to tell workers and employers and families that, hey, if you come here, by the way, you'll fit right into a great pre-K system at age three. That's a really valuable thing for a lot of people.
And Dr. Oswald told me Indiana is one of six or seven states that just doesn't have those things funded. So if you're competing for jobs and companies and things of the such, if you're missing something, it could come down to it's never simply, but that's part of how these equations work. So they'll have a meeting tomorrow night. There will be nothing decided. This is all things that are just getting the wheels in motion. If this eventually does happen, it will be on the ballot coming up. Would that be this fall, coming up in November?
Yes, it would. And which we have the municipal elections going, so it lines up with them. I think they might have to throw in another precinct or two that are not inside the city but are in the MCCSC district. But, you know, you also referenced, Mike, the kind of the jail issue. You know, both of these are what are the community values? What do we want to see? I think the community would like to see really good pre-K. I think the community would like to see a much improved criminal justice system that does a better job of preventing and rehabilitating and not just incarcerating. So I think, you know, we got some work to do on that.
Isn't it cause and effect right here in front of our eyes? If we don't start early, then we've got to pay for this on the back end, and nobody wants a prison in their backyard. But what about a daycare center? Is that is that a NIMBY issue that I'm not aware of?
I'm not aware of that one. I think you're onto something. You know, when I was in state government many moons ago, there used to be the ability to say, if we look at the third grade reading scores in a community or in a state, we can predict the prison population 18 years later, whatever. You know, I mean, it really does tie how well your school system does, and that is so important to start early, because early intervention with 3 and 4 year olds to make sure they're getting, you know, a good setting, learning to get their reading, getting it going, socialization. It's a huge impact to help our kindergarten and first grade then, which then leads to second and third. And it is all, it's a continuum.
I'm all for it. Let's see how that works. I'm not sure if I'm on the right track here, but you can learn more. Again, the school board meeting is tonight. Nothing is decided on this. It's being discussed. They're asking if they can go forward with getting the information. And then Wednesday is the community forum. That's at 6 o'clock as well at the CoLab on Miller Drive. Please make yourself and your thoughts aware if this is a big deal to you. Now, you were down in Evansville. What was going on down there? Boy, you get put on the frequent flyer miles here in the state.
It's easy to get down to Evansville, though, you know.
I was going
to
say, thankfully, there's no toll roads. You have to save all your receipts. That's a headache.
So Evansville and Mayor Winicky's down there. He's in his third term. He's closing out. He's a Republican. They became the third Indiana city to adopt this CDFI-friendly moniker, the Community Development Financial Institution, CDFI-friendly. And they had a big gathering, 150, 160 people. They invited us down from Bloomington to talk to them about what we've done here. It was really good energy. I always enjoyed doing that. I told the mayor I followed my orders. I notified his police chief when I came into town and gave him my itinerary and would leave, you know, before sunset. But
it's really not that bad, is it?
It's not that bad. But they're doing what we do, which is trying to help affordable housing and bringing new money in to support community facilities like daycares or healthcare facilities, and also entrepreneurs, small businesses, particularly underserved entrepreneurs trying to get businesses started. So the third CDFI-friendly city in Indiana and about the fifth or sixth in the country, so we're kind of leading the way there.
And I'm going to go back in time here because I just saw a headline that made me think of something. When you were traveling to Indianapolis to get to the Motor Speedway, anything on 465 that race goers who haven't been up there for a while need to be aware of?
You mean traffic?
Traffic, road closures, anything like that?
I didn't see them. I actually ended up not going on 465 just by looking at the traffic and stuff. I went up through town, you know, Harding Street and all that.
Okay, well, that works.
Details. But it was easy getting in and out, really, no problem.
Great, because I know 465 has some big plans for what's going on between Harding Street and Kentucky Avenue and around there. So
I hope they're timing it with the 500.
Right.
If they can.
Exactly, or just slow it down. But if there's a way to get around it, there's hopefully a way we can get around it. So that's good, because you would have noticed things like, oh, I thought to go that way in my GPS was taking the others.
Yeah, it's so different now. You just ask a GPS, like, what's the best route right now? And they'll tell you, you know. So,
and then sometimes they will take you, as I know from chasing my kids around in baseball. I didn't know there are three ways to get to the middle of nowhere. I didn't know that.
Right,
but this is amazing.
Right. Yeah, true. Sometimes going up to the airport or downtown, you'll get, what is this route?
Yeah. Siri or whoever her voice is, Alexa, needs to get out there and drive the roads a little bit as well. Mayor John Hamilton is my guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday. What's the council up to? What's on their calendar? I don't want to get to the end of this and say, oh, geez, well, that was we forgot to talk about that. What is the city council busy with this summertime?
They've got a pretty busy schedule up through June 21st. That's their last meeting before their typical summer month break. And then they come back late July. And I think we'll be doing, we're going to be talking about sanitation carts, sanitation rates. We'll be talking about, we've got a report on the condition of our pavement and our sidewalks that will be shared with folks. There may be, I'm not sure exactly what else is going on, but we've got a few more items. By the way, I heard, I think the county council's taken up Project 46 tonight, you know, the regional collaboration on climate change, and the town of Nashville passed it a couple weeks ago, so that's moving forward. Our city council was the first out of the gate on that, and that's good. But they'll be rolling in, and then after the month-long break, the council we have a few things teed up, and then starts budget season in August.
Yeah, we always know how busy budget season will be as we move forward, so it's exciting to see the pools and the weather and everything else change. It'll be exciting to see another round of graduates go through, and there's always boards and commissions you could join, right? That carousel ride never seems to end.
I think we have hundreds, 300, 400 people total, if you count them all up, who serve on those boards and commissions, and they really make the city run. I mean, they oversee the planning department, they oversee the public works, police and fire, they oversee the parks department, and pedestrian policies, and animal welfare policies, and you can kind of think of an issue, we probably have a commission for it.
Well, we should, because that's how government and things organize and work. So that's important. And, there's no end. It's not the election cycle. I think some people get confused with that. Oh, excuse me. Sneezing away here. But one thing we do want to remind folks of, it is coming up in August, and we want to plant the seed now, but it's the it's like the university
Resident Academy.
There you go.
That's really fun.
We'd be great with charades. You couldn't see what I was drawing over here, but you nailed exactly what I wanted to talk about.
That's an annual gathering of 20 or 30 people who spend 10 or 12 weeks together, an evening a week, to just learn about the city. And it was interesting, you know, how many city council members have gone through that, or members of boards or commissions, or elected officials generally. So it's a great way to just dip your toe into how much is going on, and I usually show up once one of those weeks, and then different departments do, and they get field trips, and it's a great way to learn what your government is doing, what your government is doing here in the city.
And if you think you have the answer, well, go learn and see if you're right. And if not, maybe you've got a better answer. I don't know how this
works. You show up on Parks Night and you can ask them about those lines on, you know, pools. But no, you got an avenue. I'll do that for you.
When I'm sitting in the pool, eventually, if I finally get
in. You get your way in finally?
Well, that's exactly right.
I'll listen to you.
We're trying to get our, we're just, more revenue. That's all we're talking about. It's more revenue. People can't spend any money in the parking lot. They can't do that. All right, grab your sunscreen. It's going to be hot tomorrow, pushing mid to upper 80s. All right.
Nice.
And all right. Have a great extended weekend. And on Memorial Day, the doors should be locked at City Hall, correct? But the internet's open 24 hours a day.
They'll be closed. We're honoring the tradition of Memorial Day, which is, of course, a serious and sober holiday. But we hope everybody has a really nice week and enjoys a longer weekend.
Excellent. So, well, you'll be starting the week next week in the Tuesday leadoff spot.
Boy, I'll be with you.
I like to hear that Tuesday leadoff spot. That's nice. We will not be here either. Have a great weekend, my friend, and we'll get caught up after the holiday weekend.
You too. Everybody have a good week.
Mayor John Hamilton, the city of Bloomington. He joins me every Friday. Every Friday. Look at me daydreaming about the weekend already. Every Tuesday, just after 4:05. And we always thank the mayor for his time and keeping us up to date on all the things happening in a very busy Bloomington, regardless of the time of year.